Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization says governments must intensify action to combat the tobacco industry and dramatically reduce consumption of tobacco products to protect public health. Tobacco use has been linked to chronic diseases such as strokes, cancers, and asthma, along with other chronic diseases. Together, they account for about 60% of all deaths worldwide. Smoking among children and youth is a serious problem that needs more emphasis, according to some observers. We will discuss this issue on the program today. And joining us via phone from Washington, D.C. is Matthew Myers, president of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, which aims to reduce tobacco use and its deadly toll in the United States and around the world. Mr. Myers, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great. Thanks for joining us. And joining us for this discussion via phone from Washington, D.C. is Laurent Huber, Executive Director of the Action on Smoking and Health, an organization with the vision to end the worldwide disease, damage, and death caused by tobacco. Mr. Huber, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Let me remind our listeners, if you would like to participate in the program with your questions or comments, you can call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1, and you can ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com or post them on facebook.com/voahealthchat. And we will discuss the dangers of tobacco use and where we are in terms of raising awareness on this issue in a moment. But first, observers say children younger than 10 years old are lighting up cigarettes, some hooked on 1 to 2 packs a day. Isn't that something? Now, they say it is a familiar sight in many developing countries. VOA's reporter Jessica Berman has the story. Take a listen.
In countries including the Philippines, India, and South Africa, children can be seen smoking. In an extreme example, a video of an Indonesian 2-year-old lighting up went viral on the internet. It's estimated that 41% of boys in Indonesia between the ages of 13 and 15 smoke cigarettes regularly. They see billboards advertising cigarettes a short distance from schools, and children can buy cigarettes cheaply at kiosks run by tobacco companies.
When we see somebody dying of lung cancer or oral cancer in adulthood, virtually always that's the last chapter in a book that began with a child.
Matt Myers is president of the group Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. The organization aims to cut the number of adult daily smokers, estimated to be 740 million people worldwide, by actively partnering with countries to adopt anti-tobacco programs and policies.
If we can cut off that spigot, if we can prevent people from ever starting, then we will be able to win the long-term effort.
Deaths from diseases such as lung cancer and heart disease are now considered a global public health emergency. Smoking is a major culprit. 10 years ago, the World Health Organization adopted the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control to snuff out the use of cigarettes and other tobacco products. The world body, through its Non-Communicable Diseases Action Plan, has set a goal to reduce smoking by 30% over 2010 levels by 2025, and it's made progress. The percentage of people lighting up has gone down worldwide, but population growth means there are more smokers than ever before. Meyer says tobacco companies see their future in young smokers in less affluent countries. But he says anti-tobacco forces are making strides.
2 years ago, for the first time in recorded history, total cigarette sales across the globe were down. And that's a direct result of those countries that have taken action beginning to see positive progress. We have a long way to go. But in many countries, we have turned the corner.
Countries where progress has been seen have forced tobacco companies to put graphic pictures of smoking-related diseases on their packs, enacting advertising bans, and placed stiff taxes on tobacco products, all to discourage cigarette smoking by young and old alike. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
Gentlemen, again, thank you so much for joining us. Let me start with you, Mr. Myers, with the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. What is your reaction to what you heard, the report, children are smoking, and how does this, how is this even on the ground in terms of how are they able to have access to the cigarettes and other things? It's just disconcerting to know that.
It's very disturbing, and particularly in Africa. Africa arguably has the lowest adult smoking rates anywhere in the world, but we're seeing alarming trends with increasing tobacco use among boys and girls. You know, smoking prevalence in Africa is expected to increase by nearly 39% by 2030 if the tobacco companies have their way. They're doing it by advertising very heavily in places where there are large numbers of young people, and by encouraging the sales of single cigarettes so that even the poorest of the poor can afford them. That's why it's so vitally important for African countries to get ahead of the curve and to enact strong tobacco control legislation now before this crisis reaches truly epidemic proportions.
Very, very interesting point there, and we will come back to that. Mr. Huber, let me have your take on children, youth, and tobacco when it comes to the United States and perhaps developed countries.
So, well, unfortunately, as Matt mentioned, the industry is looking at this as youth and low-income countries as new markets to see an expansion of its market. And we have definitely a big problem with about, as was mentioned earlier, 700 million daily adult smokers already, and the 6 million deaths caused every year by tobacco use, and the projection of 1 billion deaths this century, with 80% of those deaths being in low-income countries. Unfortunately, though, we do have a solution with the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, which, as Matt mentioned, is absolutely critical that be implemented and that action be taken in Africa. And I remember during the treaty negotiations, actually, a comment from one of the African negotiators from Côte d'Ivoire, who stated, and that was in the early 2000s, he said, and first he referenced the HIV/AIDS, he said, well, we saw this epidemic coming, and we didn't do anything about it. And with the tobacco epidemic, it's like it's a huge epidemic that's looming and coming into Africa. And he said, with this treaty, it's absolutely critical that we take action. And actually, African nations united as 42 countries during the treaty negotiations to ensure that we had a stronger treaty as possible.
Mm-hmm. But when we look at the way things are happening in Africa, and can you give us a sense of this type of advertisement that seems to be geared toward youth, the younger consumer? Is this something that we are observing as well in developed countries, in such as the United States, or is it because regulations are not so well implemented or perhaps emphasized that we're seeing this more in Africa? Can you give us a sense of how it's happening in the United States or other developed countries? And that's Mr. Huber.
So in some countries, like in some high-income countries, the banning of advertising of tobacco products is working. It's been implemented, like France, for example, UK, and so on and so forth. In the United States, it's not because of the First Amendment. So TV and radio, it's banned, but it's still in some print media. The problem though within African countries, though, is that times also the industry is ignoring even the law. So, for example, like a recent case, and in this case, for example, related to large health warnings on packages of cigarettes, for example, in Burkina Faso, health warnings were the law was approved on April 7th, 2015, and almost a year later, the law has not yet been implemented. And so you have an opposition at times, and from the tobacco industry, as well as even bribing, like as you probably have heard, BAT bribing health officials in mm-hmm. governments, like in Kenya, for example. So there's a tremendous amount of interference from the tobacco industry.
So, Mr. Myers, when you look at the big picture, and Mr. Uber talked about the tobacco industry, role of, it seems like there are several aspects here, the role of government, the role of the tobacco industries and policymakers and so on and so forth. What do you think that, in terms of strategy, is missing here or perhaps is not being followed through? Because there seems to be this big momentum, right, globally about the need to raise awareness, to ban smoking and everything, but the problem is still there to some extent. Mr. Myers.
The point you raise is a very important one. We're seeing advertising throughout Africa that has been legally banned in most wealthy nations around the world. Billboards with highly attractive images near schools and other locations with young people. The kind of things that are no longer allowed in many countries around the globe. That's why it's vitally important for the governments of Africa to step in now. And we've seen real progress. You know, for example, in the last year, we've seen both Uganda and Nigeria pass strong tobacco control laws that include strict prohibitions on tobacco advertising that appeals to young people. What we need to see is that more countries need to step forward and pass those kinds of laws to ensure that the next generation of African youth are not impacted by the very kinds of advertising that have the greatest impact on young people but are no longer allowed around the globe.
So, Mr. Uber, is there a way to work with the tobacco companies in terms of solution? I mean, clearly they want to make profit. They're in a business to make money. So, but what can be done with the tobacco industry?
Well, it needs to be regulated, so it's really the work of the governments to take action and implement the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. In the African region of the WHO, there are 47 countries, and 43 have joined the treaty. Only five have not yet, Eritrea, Malawi, Mozambique, and South Sudan. And so the treaty is an evidence-based treaty, which includes a package of policies which, if implemented, can really reduce the tobacco-related epidemic. And the implementation of the treaty is even recognized in the Sustainable Development Goals that were adopted last September and that have replaced the Millennium Development Goals. And what needs to happen is for governments to take action and for the whole of government to engage in the implementation of the treaty. The problem we're having is that sometimes outside of the health ministries, there's not as much support for implementation of those policies, or even awareness maybe about the treaty. But now I think it's critical, the fact that we have the FCTC implementation embedded as a target in the Sustainable Development Goals, we have a unique opportunity. And to some extent, it's a lack of maybe political awareness at the top level of government. But governments recognize, leaders of the world recognize also that tobacco taxation, and there was a UN conference on financing for development that was held in Addis Ababa last July, recognized that increasing tobacco taxes not only would decrease consumption, but also would be a tremendous amount of source for funding for development. And I think that could be quite powerful and strong for the African continent. And just a very recent WHO report, for example, suggests that an increase of $1 per pack of 20 cigarettes, an increase in $1 in taxes, could generate up to $190 billion in extra revenue. Mm-hmm. So in the African continent, at this point, I think what's really needed is for governments to take action, implement the FCTC, raise taxes on tobacco products, which can also serve as a source of additional funding. It's not going to be working with the industry because, as you said, the industry wants to generate its profit and makes more profit. And there's an inherent conflict of interest between the interests of the tobacco industry and public health. And that's even recognized in the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, in the UN High-Level Political Declaration on Non-Communicable Diseases, and so on and so forth. So we can, in this context, the industry is not an ally of governments.
Okay. And Mr. Myers, did you want to add something to what Mr. Uber said?
No, I think that's
I think Laurent's point is very important. What we have learned is over the years is that the tobacco industry has continually put its own profits over that health of the people of the different countries in which it works. Mm-hmm. This is a responsibility of government, and we know how to prevent tobacco use. Government's adopting the policies that Laurent Hubert discussed is absolutely critical. Raise the price through higher taxes, ban all forms of marketing, prohibit smoking indoors and other places where people are exposed, and educate people about health effects of smoking are the ways that we can prevent a catastrophe. You know, Africa is the last continent where the percentage of people who die from infectious disease it still exceeds those who die from non-communicable diseases, the diseases caused by things like tobacco use. But that's about to change. And just as Africa is beginning to improve the health of its citizens across the board, it would be a disaster if the tobacco industry's targeting of young people undermined all of those efforts.
Okay. Okay, gentlemen, we will continue this discussion. We have to take a very short break for the news, and when we come back, we will have more on this very important topic. So please stick with us. We'll be right back after the news. Here is Sanusi Jello.
Thousands of cancer patients in Uganda will be left untreated for a month after the nation's only radiotherapy machine broke down. This has triggered public criticism about underfunding the health system weeks after the presidential election. Christine Namulindwa, the cancer unit spokeswoman, told Reuters the device bought in 1995 and site at the main Mulango Referral Hospital stopped working early in April. Researchers analyzed data from 184 countries and found that poor countries are not keeping up funding necessary for universal health care, and international aid continue to stagnate. Health economists warn that local and international aid is failing to keep up with global targets laid out in the United Nations Millennium Development Goals. They say the impact could be felt most in areas of sub-Saharan Africa with the greatest disease burden. But the looming healthcare crisis could affect 35 low and moderate income countries.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, today we are discussing tobacco. We are looking at its effect on children, youth, and what is being done to address the issue. My guest, Mr. Matthew Myers, president of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, and Mr. Laurent Hubert, who is with the organization Action on Smoking and Health. Again, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Now, we have a question here. Our listeners had some questions, and one of them was wondering about e-cigarettes. Can any of you speak on e-cigarette? Are e-cigarettes safer than regular cigarettes?
Let me start out with that. Most e-cigarettes contain nicotine. Nicotine itself is harmful, particularly to young people in the developing brain. E-cigarettes are also addictive, so that if somebody doesn't smoke, they shouldn't begin by using electronic cigarettes. If somebody is already an addicted smoker and can't otherwise quit under a doctor's supervision, the use of e-cigarettes may on occasion be an appropriate answer. But what's really important is that we have seen e-cigarette manufacturers advertise in ways that are highly appealing to kids, and we've seen e-cigarette manufacturers include flavorings that appeal to young people as well. It's critically important for governments throughout Africa to prevent e-cigarettes from becoming the next generation tobacco product.
Because I read a report by the CDC saying that there is an increase of use of e-cigarettes among teens, I think, in the United States. This was really something that I was thinking about. I don't know if there is so much e-cigarettes, if there is a penetration of electronic cigarettes in on the continent, but it's definitely something to really watch.
We've seen a growth of e-cigarette sales and e-cigarette marketing all across the globe. In the United States, we've seen a true explosion of e-cigarette use among youth, and it threatens to undermine the progress we have made in reducing tobacco use overall. My concern is that in Africa, in countries that have no regulations concerning tobacco marketing and no regulations concerning the content of what goes in e-cigarettes, there is a risk that flavored e-cigarettes that are heavily marketed to young people will undermine overall efforts to reduce tobacco use.
Okay, and that was Mr. Hubert?
And I would agree with those statements. I think there is a risk. We've seen an uptake of consumption in e-cigarettes. And obviously, well, the thing is, often, you know, of course, they're compared to a ridiculously toxic product, regular cigarettes. And so they might be safer, but they're not particularly, it doesn't mean that they're safe. And the addictiveness of the product also can be a problem. Some researchers who are studying e-cigarettes are suggesting also that the new generations of e-cigarette could be actually extremely addictive. So as Matt Myers mentioned, for an addicted smoker, and if it were used as a cessation device, it might work in that instance. But there's the problem that it could be, any product that initiates addiction to nicotine is actually bad for public health. So that's where there needs to be a certain level of caution. Obviously, as I said earlier, when we compare them to regular cigarettes, which are so ridiculously toxic, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, what would you say? You know, am I going to jump for the 10th floor or the first floor? You know, we have to have some level of caution.
So let me ask you this, gentlemen, and I will start with you, Mr. Myers. As far as what your organization is doing, how do you address this issue? And what kind of impact you've seen with the campaign for tobacco-free kids? How successful have you been in raising awareness among kids and reducing the consumption?
Well, we're pleased to report that in the last several years, we have worked with non-governmental organizations in a number of African countries in a number of African governments to begin the process of adopting the kind of strong tobacco control laws that can prevent tobacco from becoming a long-term disaster throughout the continent, so that we've seen real progress in countries like Uganda. Senegal in 2014 passed a strong tobacco control law. Gabon recently has adopted decrees including smoke-free public places. We've seen some progress in Togo as well, so that we're seeing a number of countries begin to step forward. What we hope to do is continue to work with governments and non-governmental organizations throughout sub-Saharan Africa to adopt the policies and procedures that are contained in the WHO Framework Convention in order to prevent this epidemic from spreading even further.
And Mr. Huber, the action on smoking and health.
So, Sam, we will continue working also with supporting the implementation of the treaty, given that when it comes to tobacco and the tobacco epidemic, we have the cure, and it's really the policies that are in embedded in the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. We know what must be done. So it's working with governments and working with NGOs and supporting the implementation of the WHO Framework on Tobacco Control, and helping governments ensure that they have the resources for implementing the treaty.
Now, when you talk about the treaty and some other perhaps agreement that are being taken on the international level, is there a way for accountability, or countries are free to implement them or not? Perhaps if that's the case, that's one of the weak links.
Well, that's the problem with the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, that it does not have an enforcement mechanism. Mm-hmm. And that is actually the next step. It's ensuring that there is a stronger accountability mechanism. And the purpose is not to punish governments, but rather to identify where are the barriers to implementation, why governments don't have adequate resources to implement the treaty. Here we're talking about an industry that's extremely wealthy, generating a tremendous amount of money, and this money is mostly generating and going to high-income countries, not to the African continent. So it's how can we ensure then that there's a stronger accountability mechanism that allows governments to be able to identify what the barriers are to implementation and help them overcome those barriers.
Okay. Now, Mr. Myers, when we look at the campaigning against tobacco use among kids and youth, what type of message do you think, or not do you think, according to your experience, because your organization obviously focuses on kids as well, what are the messages that are effective? How do you speak or translate something so that they can get it?
Well, that's a great question. What we've discovered is it is important for young people to be able to understand that it's the tobacco industry and its marketing that are looking to manipulate their behavior, that it's the tobacco industry that is trying to falsely portray tobacco use as glamorous, sexual, and empowering, and that it's when governments prohibit that kind of marketing that we're protecting young people. So what young people respond to very strongly is the notion that it's the tobacco industry that's seeking to manipulate their behavior and addict them when they're too young to be able to make decisions with regard to that. We also discover in Africa that there's actually a very low level of awareness of the health risks of tobacco use. Most people don't realize that they increase the risk of lung cancer, for example, by over 20 times when they start smoking. And it's important for people to understand the full range of diseases caused by tobacco. 1 out of 2 long-term smokers will die from tobacco use. For a young person, that's hard to understand, but what's easier to understand is that it will immediately impact their respiratory health, their strength, and frankly, how other people perceive them.
Okay. Now, this question, what can I do to quit smoking? From a listener, it has been very difficult. Do any of you gentlemen have some suggestions, some steps maybe?
There are tried and true and proven mechanisms. If you live in a country where your government regulates medicines, there are approved nicotine replacement therapy products that are available to people. What we also have learned is that if we can get doctors to counsel their patients, it improves the chance that they will succeed. Mm-hmm. And lastly, the vast majority of people who quit smoking do so on their own by making that very strong decision that says, I'm no longer going to risk suffering from a tobacco-related disease.
Okay. And quickly, in 10 seconds each of you, where should the focus be moving forward? Is it preventing new smokers or helping those who already smoke quit, Mr. Uber?
Well, both. But the first one is prevention. When it comes to this epidemic related to tobacco, we're not going to be able to just treat our way out of this epidemic. So prevention is key. And again, as we mentioned earlier, increasing tobacco taxes, banning the advertising of tobacco products, large health warnings, smoke-free policies, and the other policies that we know work. So that's absolutely key. But obviously, we cannot leave aside the smokers, and we need to make sure that those who are addicted are also, the help is given to them.
And Mr. Myers, quickly.
I agree completely. It's both. Africa has the lowest smoking rates in the globe. Africa should become the very first continent to prevent the tobacco epidemic from ever reaching its peak by enacting strong tobacco control laws now instead of waiting for it to get out of control.
Okay, Matthew Myers, president of the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, and Lauren Huber, executive director of the Action on Smoking and Health. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in on Health Chat today. I'm your host, Linor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Bunganyi and Sanusi Diallo for the health news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.